This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Miravis Neal, the latest game-changing fungicide from Syngenta. Wheat futures tried to lead grains to the upside today, but anxiety over the signing of the trade agreement with China, among 100 other things, is limiting willingness to buy in the grain markets. But hogs, hey, hogs had no problem finding buyers today.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with a new voice, Chip, Brian Hoops from Midwest Market Solutions. And right after the news, Varsity Joe Beklevic from Standard Grain weighs in. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And right now, coming to you live, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Yeah. Like you said, new voice, Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions. I've known of Brian for a long time, and I don't know why we're just now getting around to having it on. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the conversation with Brian. And, of course, Joe Beklevic coming up here in just a second.
Yeah, I wonder what we'll talk about with Brian Hoops.
I'm guessing markets.
Okay, commodity stuff. Okay.
Maybe some risk management stuff.
Oh, I like that.
Try to get to that.
That helps people. Yeah.
Some strategies.
Oh, you're killing me. All this in one show?
I know that he wants to take a longer-term view of what's going on out there. What does today's price action mean for marketing of the 2020 crops? So we're going to go there.
Wow. Lots to get to.
I hear you. Mostly steady day in corn and soybeans, just fractional changes. Wheat futures work to the upside. The winter wheat contracts leading the way. Live cattle futures pushed up. Feeder cattle were slightly lower, and solid gains in that lean hog market today. Real quick, crude oil was higher, but you still got the Feb at, what is it, 58.38 is the last tick that I've got.
Yep.
And equities are mixed. The Dow is higher, traded over 29,000 again today. The S&P and the NASDAQ are both lower right now, but, you know, it wouldn't there's more than an hour left for those things to trade. It's hard telling where we might end up.
Right, absolutely.
So, yeah, yeah.
And it can't go up forever. It can't go up forever, Chip.
You know, everybody's
got to be a setback at some point.
Everybody's waiting for the pullback to buy, though.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. It could get ugly.
Yeah, and when everybody's waiting for the pullback to buy, everybody's definition of a pullback is different. You know, I mean, having the S&P and the NASDAQ soft today with the Dow Jones pushing up, you know, just moderately higher could be enough of a pullback for some people to decide, to heck with it, I'm buying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that'd be great.
Yes. All right, let's get to what was moving the markets.
Sure thing. Winter wheat futures pushed to within a half cent of the summer high in the overnight session on support from reports that Russia's ag ministry plans to set a quota for grain exports in the first half of 2020. Interfax filed the report overnight, citing a draft of the ministry's proposal. Many market watchers are skeptical and simply do not trust any talk of restricted grain exports that originate from the Russian ag ministry. What's so funny here, Chip? I haven't even started telling jokes yet.
I can't even believe you've been able to read this without going, oh, are you kidding me? Here we go again.
Well, technically, the test of resistance at the summer high of 573.5 in March SRW futures triggered a round of profit taking and some fresh hedging. March hard red futures 4.25 cents higher, 497. March soft red futures jumped 6.25 cents higher, 568.5. March spring wheat was up 0.75 cents, 556 there. Chip.
Yeah, when you look out to the July 20 SRW contract, 571.75, the July HRW, 512.25, those were some fairly attractive levels for hedging today.
Well, March corn futures opened slightly lower, rallied in early morning trade to spike 390, then ran into a round of profit-taking after a 15-cent rally from Friday's low. A close above 390 would certainly be price-supportive, Chip, but chart watchers warn strong resistance at 392 is a critical barrier to higher prices. Traders remain disappointed by a lack of export demand for U.S. corn, but some now warn that record-high corn prices in Brazil could swing demand back to the States. March corn futures futures were a half cent lower at 389. July corn softened a half cent to 402 and a quarter. December 2020 corn closed at 404 and a quarter, down a half cent on the day, buddy.
Yeah, those corn prices in Brazil that you're talking about there, that's for harvest delivery. And we cannot forget that currency relationships are going to have an impact on just what that price is. But, yeah, I mean, it could send some demand back to the States, no question.
Well, March soybean futures opened slightly lower, rallied to within a penny of resistance at yesterday's high, then fell back to within a half cent of support at yesterday's low. Kind of sounds like the corn market action there. Mm-hmm. The inside trading day for March beans is evidence that bean traders are waiting for tomorrow's signing of the Phase 1 trade agreement with China and, more importantly, Chip, how quickly Chinese importers respond to the agreement. Mm-hmm. Today, reports that China plans to maintain retaliatory tariffs on U.S. ag products until after the 2020 elections erased buying interest from bean futures, but the White House says tariffs will be reduced. March bean futures were steady, 942 and a quarter. July, unchanged, 967 and a quarter. November 2020 beans closed at 969 and a half, down a quarter of a penny on the day.
Yeah, they're not a currency manipulator, but they're going to keep the tariffs in place. They're not going to keep the tariffs in place, but how are we going to enforce their purchases, the required purchases going? Lots of details in that in that settlement that we're going to get tomorrow, Davis.
Yeah, for sure.
Really, really important stuff coming our way tomorrow. It sounds like the signing ceremony is going to be taking place about the time that the Farmer Forum starts tomorrow morning. So,
oh, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll be able to monitor that.
Good deal.
We'll watch it. We'll get to the livestock news here in just a second. Bring in Joe Vaclavic, Standard Grain. How are you, Joe?
Good. What's up, Chip?
Yeah, I'm just wondering about this wheat. I mean, do we trust word from the Russian Ag Ministry that they're going to restrict their exports in the first half of 2020?
No, you don't trust it necessarily, but it without a doubt moved the market today. I mean, I was sitting here at 5:58 a.m. when it came across the wires, and the market spiked both in volume and price when that happened. So, I mean, there's always the risk that the world's largest wheat exporter decides to curb exports. That's a possibility. Do I think that it happens? No, probably not. But the market, you can never be sure.
Yeah. Is it concern over supplies, or are they just throwing out stuff like this thinking, well, hey, if we can push this market up a bit, we can sell for an even higher price later?
It may be both. I don't know the interworkings of the Russian government and how it relates to the agricultural business or how they're tied to exporters. But I don't know. We're swimming in wheat in the world. I mean, if you pull up a global stocks-to-use ratio in wheat, it's going to be like basically the highest ever. So we're not at a shortage globally. So it seems like more of a short-term story to me, just like it was last year.
Okay, yeah. I mean, even domestically, we've got like 160-some days of wheat left over at the end of the year is what's projected for this year. Corn and soybeans, not much action today. Probably won't see much action until we know some details of the agreement.
Yeah, and I don't even know if that's going to bring you a whole bunch of action. There's not a whole bunch of volatility pumped into this thing. We're trading tight ranges. You really need to see, kind of like David said, you need to see not just the agreement, but you need to see the actual purchases for the sales.
Yeah, and how quickly, how aggressively they come in to do it. So, yeah. Hey, Joe, have fun with the show tomorrow afternoon. Appreciate it.
Yep, no problem, man. We'll see you.
All right, that is Joe Vaclavic, Standard Grain. Like I just said, he's going to be sitting in for me with Davis tomorrow to get you guys up to speed. I'll be out on the road tomorrow afternoon. All right, Brian Hoops from Midwest Market Solutions up next on AgriTalk. As we enter the new year, many growers are looking back to 2019 for insights on what to do differently in 2020. Today, I'm talking with Phil Krieg, Agronomy Services Representative with Syngenta. Thanks for joining us again. Hey, Phil, during your time with us, you've been reflecting on 2019, but now let's focus on the present. What should growers expect in 2020?
Well, you know, as growers, we should always plan for the unexpected. It's a cliche, but it's always better to be safe than sorry. Yep. And first and foremost, I think we always have to be active scouters in 2020. Keep an eye out for those conditions that are conducive to development disease. And then also consider your field's disease history along with things like your tillage and so on and so forth. protecting your corn really needs to have the consideration of a preventative application of an effective fungicide like Miravis Neo. The return on investment we're seeing with Miravis Neo pays huge dividends. The results we saw in 2019, key thing here was they were consistent and repeatable. Yield and grain quality coming out of fields that were treated with Miravis Neo had a high return on investment. It's not worth risking not making an application of a fungicide such as Miravis Neo in 2020. We can't control the weather, but we can prepare for the disease pressure that may result from unpredictable weather.
Absolutely.
So in the 2020 season, I recommend adding Miravis Neo to your crop protection plan, especially if you experienced northern corn leaf blight, gray leaf spot, rusts, or tar spot in your fields the last couple of years. Miravis Neo is a great option for growers who want to see more green in the field, and of course that puts more green in their pocketbook.
Absolutely. We're all looking for that return on the investment when it comes to our crop inputs, and Miravis Neo is close to the top of the list on it. Thank you, Phil. That was Phil Krieg, Agronomy Services Representative with Syngenta. To learn more about Miravis Neo, contact your local Syngenta sales representative or visit SyngentaUS.com/MiravisNeo.
Just like the weather, crop insurance keeps changing. And that's why Farm Credit Services of America employs full-time crop insurance officers who understand those changes, deliver the best options to your farm, and the coverage you expect. The weather can be surprising. Your crop insurance shouldn't be. Discover the difference with a no-cost, no-obligation crop insurance plan review from Farm Credit Services of America. Learn more by calling 800-884-FARM.
You probably can't tell from the sound of it, but Simtrex is a different kind of dry fertilizer with new potential waiting to be harvested. Every dark compact granule is engineered to efficiently deliver slow-release bio-based nutrition that improves soil health and increases yields for a 3 to 5 times return on investment. Unleash the power of your land. Ask for Simtrex in your next blend or visit futureoffertilizer.com.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Five conferences, one location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded top producer conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
You can also tweet at us. When you do, make sure that you include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. We're going to get to the conversation here with Brian Hoops in just a moment. But let's get that livestock news in there first, Davis.
Sure thing, Chip. Well, dressed cattle weights posted a weekly decline of 3 pounds in the weekend of January 4. Sounds like cattle are taking their New Year's resolutions seriously, Chip.
Seriously, yeah.
It's helping to relieve concerns, however, about backed-up market-ready cattle supplies. February cattle futures were 30 cents higher at 126.85. April cattle futures up 35 cents, 127.87 and a half. March feeders slipped 12 and a half cents to 145.72 and a half.
But they still got some work to do. It may be down 3 pounds on the week, but it's still 3 pounds above year ago.
Okay. So more pounds to go.
If that's the target, I guess so. Yes.
Well, pork cutout values were up $1.72 on Monday, leading into the signing of the trade agreement with China. That was enough to chase selling interest out of hog futures. February hogs were $1.77.5 higher, 67.67.5. April hogs up 162.5, 75 bucks on the snout. Chip.
Thank you very much, Davis. Appreciate that.
You betcha.
There they are. All right, let's bring in a new voice to AgriTalk. Brian Hoops from Midwest Market Solutions is our guest analyst today. Brian, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Hey, I am doing good. Great to join you, Chip. How are things going?
We're doing just fine. Hey, I'm looking at, you know, the weather app on my phone. It's one of those things that we're told you're never supposed to look at or put any faith in. But when I look at it and I see this snow coming in for Friday, Saturday, and the cold temperatures for Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, before we start to warm things up midweek next week, I would like to see a little weather premium in the cattle here, Brian, and I don't think that they're carrying any weather premium at all.
You know, yeah, they're really not. And it would be nice to think we're going to get some sort of a bounce off of the weather premium. It seems like the middle of January is always your coldest week out of the entire year. And you usually get some snow and ice associated with it. And we might, you know, put a little premium in. I don't think the cattle market really is focused on it right now. It does seem more inclined just to follow what direction the cash is going to take. It bounced today off of its lows when the cutout values at noon came out and they were sharply higher. So that kind of ended some of the selling pressure and enabled cattle to have a moderate to higher close today.
Yeah. Put a little juice back into the packer margins on beef. It's not the $500 plus margins that we saw the packers earlier. Well, in 2019, but they've got a healthy enough bottom line on killing cattle right now, Brian, that I don't see a lot of pressure coming on cash cattle bids at least for the next 6 weeks, right?
Yeah, I think for the most part that's going to be an accurate statement. The one caveat that we could throw out here is ever since the Holcomb, Kansas plant fire late this summer, they increased Saturday slaughter to really unprecedented levels to make up for the loss of the kill capacity. They start to cut back on some of that Saturday kill, give the workers that had worked so much overtime on Saturdays a little bit of time off and kind of a little bit of a break. They're going to cut hours just a little bit. In effect, that will prop up their margins as well because they're still profitable, but boy, not by much. That could slow our cash needs down just a little bit. I think the market was disappointed last week that the cash was not higher. It was a steady market. On Friday, when the futures closed, we were anticipating at least a dollar higher, and that's why we had that correction this Monday, is that disappointment. We hadn't been able to trade that steady cash trade. We corrected a little bit on Monday. Today, we're higher, to steady to higher, kind of building back in. Maybe a little weather premium, maybe an idea that the cash is going to be higher because of bad weather and the fact that these cutout values did rise. But if we get into a situation where they cut back on kills, I think the cash would slip pretty quickly, but that would in turn help the cutout values and prop up their margins.
Outstanding. All right, good stuff, Brian. What about this hog trade? The pork cutout this week. I'll admit I didn't see it this morning, but I know it was higher yesterday. But it seems like there's just some anticipation, or maybe we're getting some of the hopium flowing into the hogs over the potential for pork exports into the market again today.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, this market has been built on hopes and dreams that we would be exporting pork to China. And so far, that has really failed to transpire. Last summer, we had just such a huge rally in these hogs, and we gave most of that back by the time December and October went off the board last fall, because we never achieved those expectations where the exports would be. Now we're hovering near contract lows in the February because we're running out of time to see China buy aggressive amounts of U.S. products. But yet at the same time, our U.S. pork exports in November were a record high, up about 21% from a year ago, and that's all driven by China. It's just the fact that we have tried to build in a too rich of a premium versus what supplies we already have, because we have just a mountain of pork supplies to work through.
Yeah, we really do. And boy, wouldn't it be, I mean, we've got a list of things that I want to be really confident that are going to happen here, Brian. One of them is that China signing phase one tomorrow. The other one is USMCA. You know what? There's news now that it looks like they may be able to, they being the Senate, may be able to get to USMCA and get a vote done on that thing before impeachment trial sets in. So that's a positive sign. So we've got China, we've got USMCA moving along. It feels like there's good reason to be excited about this hog market for 2020. But doggone it, with the numbers coming, Brian, if we don't see some of this trade develop, we're going to be covered up in pork.
Yeah, and then that's a fear. That's why, you know, if you're a producer out there, I think you have to look at marketing when you have some opportunities. We have had this fall and through the winter months, you know, June hogs flirting with the $90 and above area. And once we get up into that area again, I think it's warranted to at least give yourself some sort of a downside protection so that prices don't turn sharply lower. You know, you have we have D's in February going off the board in the low to mid $60 range. You know, those months, December at one time was trading well above $90 as well, and we just removed all that premium when the exports didn't transpire. So, yeah, you have to be a little protective in here. I do think, you know, just some minimum price options just in case there's something that happens on our export front, like you mentioned. If that happens, you got to have yourself protected.
Yeah. Boy, I would really like to get some put options in place. If I had cattle in the feed yard or hogs in a finishing house, I'd feel like I'd want to have some puts in place, even looking at those summer month hogs. But isn't the premium going to tear you up?
Yeah. Your premiums are going to be a little expensive, and some guys will look to sell, you know, out of the money calls to help cheapen that up.
Right. So,
you know, if you buy like a $90 put, you can turn around and sell, you know, $65 or $70 put, something like that as well. You won't have any margin calls if you do a strategy like that, but you don't have any protection below $70. But, you know, historically, you know, even if you have a big supply of hogs, summer month hogs below $70 is, you know, extremely rare occurrence. And so you shouldn't, you know, that's just a way to cheapen things up, and unlikely event that prices would be that cheap.
Excellent. All right, good stuff, Brian. Hey, before we get to the end of this segment here, looking back at Friday's reports from USDA, was there any one report that really caught your eye and made, you know, kind of made you go, whoa, where did that come from?
You know, the big thing that was a standout to us, I think, was a 250 million bushel jump in feed usage and residual. You know, we do have more, as we've been talking, more proteins on feed, more beef, more pork, more turkeys, more chickens, about 3% more than last year. And we'll, you know, see an increase this in 2020 again. We'll see an increase above last year. So I think it's certainly justified that they increased the feed usage as much as they did. But that was, you know, that was a big change to the balance sheets. You know, we saw smaller harvested acres. We saw a little bit larger yield. But overall production did not change that much.
Right.
because of that, or any stocks, I should say, didn't change overall that much because of that big jump in feed usage, despite the fact we saw lower exports. So, you know, we're thankful that they made that jump. I think it was, due and certainly definitely warranted. Yep. But I don't think you can expect that again going into the next quarterly stocks or even the supply and demand report. We won't see that type of a jump again. I think you may see some small incremental changes, yep, but not a 250 million bushel change.
Right. All right. Brian, stay with us. When we come back, I want to talk more about those balance sheets, what you're thinking about longer term, what's going to change them. You said for now, not big changes, but some potential changes. And yeah, I see you, W.A. Dirt, you dirty dog.
Mr. Chairman, as a corn root, I speak for millions of my kind who can't be here to defend themselves. Pests are stalking our stocks and undermining our roots. But we can elect to protect with a legacy of strength. Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment system increases nearby microbial activity to help us grow stronger. That's smart. Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is a corn roots movement. Ask your BASF seed advisor about Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment. Always read and follow label directions.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you are able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pearl Farmer Senior Economist Dan Bott joins us now. Dan, what's the market move that matters most today?
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at March soybean oil futures again today. Hopes for rising U.S. soybean exports to China have helped support soybean oil prices lately, but a big surge in palm oil prices has probably played a larger role in boosting bean oil futures. That is, the two oils compete in the global vegetable oil market, with palm actually being more widely used internationally. Despite having palm values remain at relatively elevated levels, March bean oil has dipped from 35.67 cents per pound on January 2nd to 33.51 at today's low. However, today's late rebound created a classic hammer reversal formation on this candlestick chart, which strongly suggests a larger technical advance may now be forthcoming.
All right. Thank you, Dan. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Bott. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at profarmer.com.
Five conferences, one location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded top producer conferences: Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Commodity Classic is unlike any other event in agriculture because it's created by farmers for farmers. Farmers determine the entire schedule, from the educational sessions to the trade show to the entertainment. Your experience is focused on the questions you have, the challenges you face. You'll walk away with answers, ideas, and a renewed energy about your operation, because farmers just like you have made sure you will. See your future clearly at Commodity Classic in San Antonio, February 27th through 29th. Visit commodityclassic.com.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Talking today with Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions.
What's he got going there? A little daiquiri action?
It's got to be a daiquiri of some sort.
With a little
sort,
pineapple chunk.
It's got that pineapple slice in there.
Right on the side.
Oh, man.
We should start serving those to the studio audience. They'd be a lot more lively during the show, I'm sure.
I am jelly.
Yeah?
There's no doubt about that.
Studio audience? You in for that? No. They fell asleep.
All right. Like I said, we're talking with Brian Hoops today. Give us a call. It's 855-4-TALK-AG, 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us, hashtag AgriTalk. Yeah, that way I'll be sure to see it. Before we get back to Brian, go ahead and recap how the markets are closed, Davis.
Chip March hard red futures 4.25 cents higher, 497. March soft red futures up 6.25, 568.5. March corn futures were a half cent lower, 389. December 2020 corn closed at 404.25, down a half pent on the day. March bean futures were steady, 942.25. Novi beans 969.5, down a quarter of a penny on the day. On the livestock side, Feb cattle futures 30 cents higher, 126.85. March feeder cattle slipped 12.5 cents to 145.72.5. And February lean hogs, $1.77.5 higher, 67.67.5. That is your quick market recap.
All right.
Hello, W Dirt. Back to you, Chip.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much.
I can't get it off my screen now. I'm like with the little tiki huts there, excuse me.
You can't even talk.
I can't even
dude.
Say patay, patay, patay. Get me out of here.
You
frazzled. Let's get back to Brian.
Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions. Brian, before we get to the China signing and what it might mean for the markets going forward, I know you cover cotton. Did you see anything in the reports on Friday that the guys that grow cotton that are listening have to be aware of?
You know, I didn't think there was anything all that outstanding in the cotton market.
Right.
We've had strong exports for cotton. They may get even stronger with this Chinese agreement. We talk about hogs and how soybeans will be affected, but this really could be a windfall for cotton producers as well if we're able to export a lot more bales to China, as they've been a good buyer so far this year and are expected to be even better and stronger buyer after some of these tariffs are rolled back.
Yeah. What are your expectations for tomorrow and the signing? Because everybody's talking about, including me, talking about, boy, we're going to get to see the language. I can't wait to read the language. I can't wait to see what it says about that $80 billion of ag product purchases over 2 years that has gotten so much press. Can't wait to see what it's got in there for enforcement and everything. But what are your expectations coming out of the signing?
Yeah, I've been doing this a long time. And anytime we're talking about China, we always talk about ceremonies and something symbolic happening. Even when President Trump was meeting with President Xi, they would have a meeting and we'd find a lot of press about it. But there'd also include some export sales. China would be buying soybeans kind of as a show that they're going to be willing to deal with the United States. I would fully expect we would see some sort of export sale announcements over the next several days. They're going to make that signing tomorrow morning. I think we'd start seeing some type of news that they have bought, 10 million metric tons of soybeans or whatever they're going to buy. But, they're going to make it kind of a grand gesture, assuming that this thing goes through. So, we've seen some news via reports today that the tariffs on some of the products of Chinese goods coming into U.S. are going to stay in place until at least November after the election. So, yeah, we're hopeful this goes through. I certainly could see China doing something similar to what they did last year, where they book a lot of product. But if you remember last 2 weeks of the old marketing year, they had a lot of beans on the books that they did not ship, and they waited until late August to do those shipments. And I think we could see something like that again this year, where they book a lot of product, but then they come in and buy South American soybeans during the harvest at cheaper prices, and our product gets shipped much later.
Right. Right. Okay. So all of this uncertainty from that surrounding the Chinese agreement and whether or not they're going to follow through and everything. I mean, it really muddies the picture on trying to figure out what these balance sheets are going to look like 3 months, 4 months, 5 months down the road, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you start talking about balance sheets and the U.S. farmer, you know, it's kind of caught in the crosshairs. What's going to happen with our exports? The USDA left soybean exports unchanged because they don't really have a clear idea how aggressive China is going to be about buying soybeans, and they may not do anything this marketing year. You know, they've been buying beans in November and December, and some reports are that they're pretty flush with soybeans right now and really don't need any more soybeans because they just don't have that demand base for soybeans like they used to because of the African swine fever. So, you know, they're building up meal. They can't get rid of it. You know, so it's really hard to make a balance sheets adjustments into the future. I'm looking ahead. I do think our soybean exports are going to look much better a year from now than what they do this marketing year. I think the corn could improve as well. The question will be how much. You know, they've lowered exports for corn, but the inspections number was just a disaster yesterday. Yeah. You know, you look at that annual inspections for corn, 54 million bushels, or 54%, I should say, behind last year. USDA lowered it on Friday. Now they're talking 14%. So there's still a disparity. They may have to lower corn exports in the future despite optimism over this China agreement.
Yeah. I mean, they've already taken like 150 million bushels out of that number from where we were a couple of months ago. But you're right. I mean, the evidence points at below 1.775 billion bushels that we got in the balance sheet from USDA on Friday. So as we get deeper into 2020, Brian, I mean, at some point, we're going to be talking demand over the next few weeks, I would imagine, leading up until it's about time to start putting seed in the ground in a big way here in the States. But at some point, demand's going to become an issue again, especially if we get a better planting season, especially if things get off to a decent start. I mean, we're tightening things up a bit from expectations on corn and soybean carryover right now, but it could get kind of bulky again for the 2021 marketing year, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And this is, you know, this is not something fun to talk about because this means we're not going to see higher prices. We're probably going to see lower prices, right? You know, you're coming this marketing year where USDA says, you know, almost 1.9 billion bushel carryover, which is more than adequate to meet our demand, more than enough supply. But now we go into, you know, March 31st planting intentions report. We could be looking at close to 94 million acres of corn being planted. Soybean acres could be close to 76 million. And when you start factoring in a normal, or 85 million, I'm sorry, we start factoring in normal soybean yields, corn yields, we're producing a much, much larger crop than what we're able to use, even with additional Chinese demand. You know, last year we had that year where we lost acres because of wet conditions. We lost yields. And even though these yields are higher than what a lot of farmers want to believe that's out there, these are the numbers we have to work with. And if they go back to a normal level, we're going to be just awash in corn and soybeans here in the United States.
Okay, so with that said, how do you feel about $4 in December 20 corn futures and just call it $9.70 in November 20 bean futures? Is it something to be patient with, or do you want to at least get something done?
I think this is a great time to start getting something done, and maybe better price. You know, maybe it's a better price than a time frame to get started. But you know, when you have a really long marketing window, and when you start talking marketing in January for the crop that you still have in a seed bag, there's a very long window, and so you can start doing 5% and 10% increments. If you sell 5% of your expected production at 405 December, and another 5% at 410, for example, that's a great place to get started and hope that you have opportunities at 425 and 430 if we get a rally into the spring or summer. So you just can't, I think, sit back and hope that things get better, because unless we have a major weather problem in the United States for the second consecutive year, it's probably unlikely things are going to get appreciably better for corn and soybean marketing opportunities. And even if you look at the 21 crop or the 22 crop, there's probably some opportunities that producers need to start focusing on with the same mindset, 5-10% small incremental sale opportunities.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent work there, Brian. I can't believe I didn't start this way, so I'm going to end this way. Tell us about Midwest Market Solutions.
Well, we've been around almost 20 years now. It's hard for me to believe that I'm getting that old, but we've been able to grow and expand in that time frame. We have 9 offices around the Midwest: South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska. I'm down in Missouri in our home office, Montana, Illinois. We have offices all around the Midwest and a lot of different brokers there that have a wealth of experience. Some have, a farm background or are currently farming. So we try and put ourselves in our clients' situation and help them, either market cash products or with the futures and options market to do, a better job of marketing, because the margins are, as everybody knows, are getting squeezed tighter and tighter each and every year.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, good for you. How did a guy named Hoops get to be a baseball player?
That's a great question. I was really never very good at basketball, so I guess I had to do football, baseball.
That's how you got to be a baseball player. I think that same logic was followed for a guy named Flory back in the day, too.
Yeah, there you go.
Brian, thank you so much. We'll do it again. I really appreciate you making the time and your insights here, buddy.
Great talking with you guys. Thanks so much.
All right, that is Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions. When we come back, Davis and I are going to put a wrap on today's 2 hours of AgriTalk. Take a look forward to the rest of the week.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Commodity Classic is the place to renew your passion for agriculture.
This is my third time at the Commodity Classic. It is just such an exciting place. If you're in agriculture and you come down here and you don't get excited, you shouldn't be in agriculture. Every year I come home, I take something away. And every year I come home and I'm excited. I can't wait for spring to get here now.
See your future clearly at Commodity Classic in San Antonio, Texas, February 27th through 29th. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
5 conferences, 1 location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded top producer conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
That's what I was thinking.
In case you missed it, it's 855-482-5552 and a 4 on the end.
Bahama you need Mamas. To stop doing
it's
that.
Easier to remember.
My brain just turns off when you get into that.
Really?
Yeah, that non-rhythmic phone number thing.
554-825-5254. That doesn't
help
you?
I can't even breathe right now.
Bahama Mamas. Bahama Mamas.
Yeah, thank you,
Dubs. It's much easier to say. Yes, thank you.
He made sure that we knew what it was. It is the Bahama Mama.
Mm-hmm. And also that the show would be completely derailed. We've produced nothing in the last 58, 59, 60 seconds, Chip. Nothing.
That's not true.
I'm watching the clock right now.
That is untrue.
There went another 9 seconds.
National Weather Service. No, I don't want to go there yet. We'll get there, but I don't want to go there yet. Good conversation. Good conversation with Brian. He will
Brian
be
Hoops
on
is a
again.
Keeper. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, he will be on again. And we started with the livestock, you know, on purpose, obviously, because of, you know, Brian. When I talked with Brian last week, I said, now, and I know that you cover livestock. I've seen some of your work in the past. And he said, absolutely. We're not putting enough emphasis on this livestock industry right now. And there's some great opportunities coming in the weeks ahead for both cattle and hogs. So I enjoyed the conversation with Brian on cattle and hogs. You need, when you're looking at those, you know, putting a floor in place on some of those summer month contracts, whatever, boy, just, you know, watch how much you're spending. And like Brian said, Brian was quick to point out, and rightfully so, maybe if you're going to be buying a put, you sell a call against it, something like that, but do it far enough out of the money that you're not going to get caught up in a bunch of margin calls or something like that. So just watch what you're doing when you start getting onto the short side or the sell side of either calls or puts, okay? Mm-hmm. Just watch what you're doing there. Make sure that you understand what the strategy is and appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, because you can't really call it a strategy if you don't have a strategy, right?
That's right.
You're just kind of winging it.
Yeah, you're just kind of winging it. We're not going to do that. Lots of talk about what is really going on with China right now. China's tariffs to stay on until after the election is kind of the running theme that I'm seeing right now. So the tariffs on the Chinese goods coming into the U.S. are going to stay in place until after the election. We talked to Wiesmeyer about that yesterday morning on the show, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer, and the possibility that that was going to happen. There's going to be a measured response to China's actions following the signing of the agreement that is going to make for a very fluid situation regarding these tariff rates. It's going to be a fluid situation on the rates that the U.S. has on Chinese goods coming into the U.S., and it's going to be fluid on the tariffs that China has on U.S. goods going into China. But, as I've argued all along, how do we confirm that China is charging anybody a tariff on U.S. ag products coming into the country? They say that the tariffs are there. They may have been, you know, crushers of soybeans may have been instructed to act and perform as if the tariffs are in place. Importers of pork in China may have been told, listen, you're going to perform as if these tariffs are in place, but we also know that we need to get more pork in position. So ask for a waiver and you'll probably get one. We just have no way of knowing.
Well, and it is interesting, too, that I feel like I've forgotten all the times when we've said, oh, yeah, sure, news coming out of China, you can really trust that. Now, all of a sudden, we've got a deal in place, and it's, well, they're going to be accountable. There's enforcement mechanisms involved here. Everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It seems like a complete flip of the script here that just sort of slid under the radar.
Yeah. Yeah, and it, well, China's going to try to cheat. You know how why I say that with confidence?
Why?
Because they always try to cheat. It's just that when it comes to trade, that is their MO. So, okay. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for January 20th through the 24th.
Okay.
We've got below normal temperatures expected over most of the Corn Belt. You get out into far western Nebraska, Kansas, Panhandle, Oklahoma, Panhandle of Texas, you're looking at normal temperatures out there. Now, on the precipitation front for January 20th through the 24th, we've got above normal precip expected through Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, western Iowa, southwest Minnesota. We've got below normal precipitation expected Wisconsin, Illinois, southeast Missouri, Indiana, Ohio, and points to the south and east of there. So it seems to be drying out a bit. Now, I will tell you just real quickly, in the 8 to 14 day, we've still got those below normal temperatures, and the above normal precipitation is all pushing further to the east. Let's get to it. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by Keeping It Clean. Some days there aren't enough suds to clean the conversations on Twitter. Fortunately, I've got a button for that. And now today's tweets. At Silence Chopper, if you don't have a squeegee and a bucket, I'm not buying your fuel. And if I'm not buying your fuel, I'm not coming in to buy your expensive pop and candy bars. See where I'm going with this. At Brett's WFF, lots of opinions about this tractor, but I think it's pretty sweet looking. I sat in the massaging seat until the battery died. Let's keep it clean. At White Wheat Tweet, got our first snow of the year yesterday, and now our puppy thinks he needs to radio edit. only under the trampoline. Chip.
All right. Thank you so much, Davis. For producer Joe Stackler, thank you for listening today. Joe Baklavic and Davis, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow morning, it's a Farmer Forum.
Probably can't tell from the sound of it, but Simtrax is a different kind of dry fertilizer with new potential waiting to be harvested. Every dark compact granule is engineered to efficiently deliver slow-release bio-based nutrition that improves soil health and increases yields for a 3 to 5 times return on investment. Unleash the power of your land. Ask for Simtrax in your next blend or visit futureoffertilizer.com.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have ARC County right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Thanks to Miravis Neo Fungicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about pre-ordering Miravis Neo or visit the Miravis Neo webpage for more information. Always read and follow label instructions.